Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us for tonight's Comic Book Club. And now, here are your hosts, Nika Page, Justin Tyler, Alex Dowler!
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
Oh, and that's our Bat of the Booth, Boothman.
Boothman!
Yeah,
oh, there you go.
Yeah! You can shout out your favorite person down this booth.
Let's get the music down for a second. Hold on. Music down for a second. Pete, are you okay?
No.
What's the matter?
Pete, what happened?
Some bad news about a real person in your life?
Something. No, I read a preview, an advanced.
Well, so not about a real loved one.
Oh, okay. You read a preview. That doesn't sound bad so far. What about it?
It destroyed everything I believe in.
Oh, wow. Man, was it like Pete Must Die issue number
preview
one?
Preview of a new
comic book.
Oh, I thought it was a new chapter in the Bible.
No? I'm not, I don't really read the Bible that much.
I don't know, I'm just saying something must have had a real, real impact on your life.
Maybe I would check it out.
Well, what are you talking about? Which issue? What happened? What was upsetting about it?
Well, it's, it hasn't come out yet, so I can't disclose, too much information. But just imagine a character that you love, you know what I mean? Somebody close to you that means a lot to you.
Like
you almost, would wear a badge of their honor on a jacket that you own. Or maybe walk around with a wallet that you have with their picture on it. Just kind of like a friendly daily reminder that no matter who shits you on you in life, things are going to be okay.
Because Jesus, you're talking about Jesus.
You have this character that you go to that gives you strength.
Giada De Laurentiis for the Food Network.
See, it's different for everybody.
Yeah,
everybody's got their person that they go to.
Yeah. Yeah. Who are you talking about, Pete?
The Punisher.
Oh, yeah. Great person to look up to.
Yeah. And so something happened to the Punisher.
Right.
And you're upset about it.
Yeah.
Good.
It's ridiculous. It's not like so fucked up. Like it's, and it's not like even the person who did it to him was any good. It was just like this ridiculous thing that happened, and then you're sitting there like, this isn't gonna happen. You're like reading like this. It's not gonna happen. It can't happen. That would be a ridiculous choice. Why would somebody, do that? You know, it's... I was a little boy, and... I didn't fit in well, and then...
Guys, we have a great show for you! I'm very excited about the guests that we have. We'll find out more about what Pete's talking about next week. But let's welcome out our guests, ladies and gentlemen, Jacob Shabbat and Greg Shiegel!
Yeah!
Thank you so much for coming on the show. We're very excited to have you guys here. So let's talk about the book that you're working on right now. Let's talk about X-Baby.
Let's talk about it.
Yeah.
So
how'd you guys get together?
Hey, thanks. How do we get together?
Uh-huh.
And make X-Babies.
Yeah, we
make
we made a lot of X-Babies.
I've always wondered how you make an X-Baby.
Well, this is going to be a long...
Oh, no, I'm thinking a baby with my ex.
An X-Man and X-Lady love each other very much.
Right. Yeah, sneak into her house.
Yeah. Well... Oh, yep, that's a crime. That's almost a crime. That goes to me.
I'm sure it's not.
Actually, speaking of making X-Babies, the original concept I had for X-Babies was a woman who had babies that looked like and had the powers of the X-Men. That's not even a joke.
I thought that was a terrible idea and nobody would buy it.
And then we came up with what people are starting to read.
Oh,
yeah.
Huh.
Nice. That's true fact.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So it's going to be like an Octomom type thing or something?
No, she didn't have them all at once. So she didn't have Wolverine first.
He's older.
Because he's older.
Sure.
And then the rest of them all come spewing out.
Spewing.
Yeah, slowly but surely.
I don't know why this pitch was picked up.
Well, because they never pitched it.
It's also pretty much the worst idea ever.
Well, tell us a little bit about the actual book. For those who aren't reading it, tell us about the idea.
The basic idea is that the X-Babies who... The short version is they're stars on a other dimensional TV network. They're the number one rated show based on the X-Men. And the premise of our story is that somebody has taken over this other dimensional TV network and has taken the X-Babies out of the lineup and replaced them with cuter, safer, or family-friendly versions of the ex-babies. So they've gone from the ex-babies to the adorable ex-babies, mm-hmm. who are adorable.
They really
they are. They were adorable.
Yeah, credit to Jacob on that.
Nice.
Thank you.
But ex-babies was one of those books where I was like, what? But then I read it, and I was like, oh, this is fun. This is
cool. Didn't think any way he would like it, and he loved it.
Yeah, it was actually very enjoyable.
Yeah, thank you.
I was walked in thinking, like, I'm going to hate this comic, and pleasantly surprised.
Now, what made you walk in saying you were going to hate this comic?
Because, I hate babies. They freak me out. They're always doing weird. Shut up.
But when they dance, it's cute.
Yeah.
Or when they do,
or when they give me stock tips. Oh, that's also very cute.
Sure.
What baby dances?
What all baby gives stock tips?
Yeah.
The
train on that commercial. That freaks me out. Because they're making
Shankopotamus, dude. Shankopotamus.
Oh.
What?
I don't know.
Shankopotamus?
I don't know what that means.
Because not only do babies give you stock tips, they also play golf.
So, yeah. Tell us a little bit about where the series is going.
Without giving too much away.
Please, actually give too much away.
Yeah. Right, too much.
Spoiler alert, there's three more issues.
Nice. Okay.
Wow. Now I don't even get to pick it up.
Yeah. Where it's going is that the ex-babies are, their goal is to find the guys who replace them and take them out.
Nice.
And become the number one draw again.
Yeah.
Along the way, they come across some of the other shows, some of the other properties that have been introduced in this new regime of family-friendly, safe entertainment. And it just happens these properties are the revived Star Comics characters from Star Comics, which was a line of kids targeted comics from 1985. So
that
most
eight people remember.
Yeah.
Were you a fan of those?
I wouldn't say I was a fan. I think I just missed the age cutoff where that would have been the thing for me to read. I was like 9, and I think those probably stopped at about 8.
Well, you made fun of a kid carrying them.
My little brother had a copy of Wally the Wizard, so I flipped through it. Just wasn't my thing. They were all pretty much visually ripping off.
You were like, I'm too mature for this now. I'm 9.
I was reading Batman.
Yeah. I need something grittier.
Yeah. But it all looked like Harvey Comics, right. Which. Mm-hmm. When you're
for
nine,
real,
you don't want to read that
stuff. Bullshit.
Yeah, that's
what I said.
Stuff.
Would you read like a more hardcore Casper the Ghost?
Yeah,
just going around and like ripping people's heads off.
That would be awesome.
Drinking their
but
neck
then is,
blood.
Is it Casper anymore at that point?
He's not
friendly ghost.
Yeah.
Sure. Well, he's
unless he's like a Dexter, where he ripped off the heads of bad guys.
Well, he's like a friend of his asked them to rip off.
Oh, well, then yeah, friend of his.
He's doing a favor.
Yeah.
The first arc, the first issue is called The Favor.
It's just a favor, and all of a sudden he's drinking baby blood.
But
baby skull.
To get back to your story a little bit,
sure. I want to
this
wanna
is
stop
this
on
this
one
a little bit. Oh, so little Lulu, what can she do?
What can she
do?
She
can rip off somebody's head and drink their neck blood.
Okay. Yep.
It's kind of the same pitch. It's kind of the same pitch. But what I really liked was it kind of made fun of itself and then made fun of the kind of older ex-babies, like the first series that came out. I thought that was really smart and a good way to start it off.
Well, thanks.
Nice.
And that's our questions for you. I might be misremembering at this, but is there already going to be more ex-babies after this? Is that correct?
That would be
there
the
is, we're not aware
heard.
Of it.
Okay. You heard it here first.
Yeah. You lie heard it here first. Yeah, we broke the lie.
It's entirely possible there will be more. We may not be doing it.
We scratched together $3 that we'd like to pay you to make an ex-baby series part 2.
How many pages for $3?
Three?
What's your page rate? Is your page rate like 3-4 cents a page?
Just about. It's close.
You got that.
For the writing,
whatever
Jacob
works out
costs
to.
A lot more to draw it.
I'll do it for $3.
Sweet.
Cool.
Great.
Times are depression comic book.
Yeah.
Guys, let's move on from talking about the depression and do our first section, which we like to call the stab.
Yeah!
Next thing we're going to talk about, biggest issue of the week, ladies and gentlemen, the DC Universe Halloween Special number 1. I meant literally the biggest issue of the week.
Oh, nice. Thank you.
Short story collections are often a mixed bag. Again, not a Halloween pun. What do you guys think about that?
That was a Halloween pun.
Definitely was a mixed bag. There was a lot of stuff that was like, meh. But there was some good stuff.
It was like candy mixed with like razor blades, is what you're saying.
Well, I wouldn't say it was that harsh. I would say it was more like candy mixed with vegetables.
Tricks and treats.
That's a terrible
So, you know, there's a bunch of different short stories in here. The thing that I do appreciate about this is they're giving new writers a chance to do some work in the DC Universe on characters. There's some great art in here.
They're not listening.
Oh, yeah, this is terrible. Yeah. This is a terrible.
No, there is.
There's crazy new writers getting a chance to do bad stories.
Yeah. What did you think of this?
You know, they're...
Mr. Pumpkin.
Thank you for addressing me by my Halloween name.
very festive.
This is just a regular shirt. It's orange.
It's
the color.
It's an orange.
Doesn't it mean...
It's not a regular shirt.
It is a regular. Orange is a regular color.
You would wear this not around Halloween.
I wore it all day
this,
today.
This is the first time I've seen it, though.
Yeah, all day today is still around Halloween.
This morning was distinctly different.
So the book.
The art is very good in a lot of the stories, and some of them are fun. And
some are great.
I like the Red Robin story, but like the Bizarro wraparound is sort of stupid.
Or it's fantastic.
Oh, can we talk actually about the Guy Gardner story a little bit?
Yeah.
The Guy Gardner story in the middle, Guy Gardner, the Green Lantern, is probably, I think, the longest story in the book.
Yeah.
And the first half is just pages and pages of text where Guy Gardner talks about talking to people about inviting them to his Halloween party.
Yeah.
And he's like, I asked Batman, and this is the interaction I had with Batman, and then I asked Superman, and here's the interaction I had. And then the next 8 pages are his Halloween party mixed in with scenes of him being beaten by his father when he was a kid.
Very weird. And it doesn't ever come to any sort of thing like Halloween is about beating your children or anything. It just comes to the end and it's like, oh, that was just stuff that happened.
Well, and then after the things with him being beaten, then Ice comes in a Guardian costume. It's like, all right, let's have sex.
Yeah.
And he's like, that sounds great. The end.
It was very weird.
Ask people to your Halloween party, remember painful memories from your childhood, and then have sex with your girlfriend.
Well, and plus he's like, let's make a list of all the things to have at a Halloween party. He's like jack-o'-lanterns, and it's him like carving one, and then it flashes to his father punching him and then kicking the jack-o'-lantern. Which you're like, I don't know what the message takeaway is.
I don't know.
It's a sexy drawing.
Yeah, I feel like... You know, there is some good stuff in there as well. So
good, sexy drawings.
I would say it's worth picking up.
$6? Did you like
worth
$6?
Did you like the story where Wonder Woman goes after the Blair Witch?
Yeah, there's a weird. And also,
okay,
and she,
all right, maybe it wasn't worth it.
And she, that puts you over. She finds her friends, and they're in a cavern in the woods, swimming in a weird pool in bathing suits. And she's like, "Oh, it's not a monster," and they're like. It's really weird.
Very porny. Yeah,
it's sort
strange.
Of porny.
Yeah.
This whole book is sort of porny.
Yes.
And violent.
Is there a werewolf in it at all? Any monsters?
I don't know. There's a vampire.
Yeah,
there's a vampire.
It's mostly about these superheroes dealing with their issues. It's very weird.
Very much.
Very
strange.
Tim Drake is like, my father died. And then he just moved on. Like, there's no...
It's he's like, my father died. Happy Halloween!
Yeah.
The guys who do Tiny Titans have a good one in there that's fun.
I would disagree with that.
I like the Billy Tucci story with Superman and Flash racing. Very nice. Nice to
That's not been done before.
Wow. Real food. You're real talkative lately.
But it's a Halloween race. They're racing for candy or something.
No, it actually turns out... The twist is that it's kids dressed up as them, and the kid who's dressed as the Flash runs too fast and bashes through a screen door.
Darwin.
And he gets sliced in half, and then somebody drinks his neck blood. All right, we're going to move on. Talk about Invincible Iron Man, number 19. This is tying up the world's most wanted arc. He seems like this kind of clapping.
Wow.
Yeah.
It may just be.
Matt Fraction he should only do this book. Because it's phenomenal.
That's like a backhanded compliment.
Yeah, you don't like his other stuff.
I feel like this is every time I read the Invincible Iron Man that he does, I'm just blown away by it. It's so good. It's fantastic. The art really complements the writing. You know, it's very suspenseful. Every issue has been worth the money.
Then why don't you want him to do other books like Punisher?
because...
There's a
waiver. No, well, just because it's like, this is so great, this is the only place I like.
I'm going to lock in a little bomb.
Yeah, I just want to lock away, this is the same
little
kind
precious
of
glass jar.
Yeah.
Nice.
Have you guys been reading this book at all?
I haven't been reading it, I did read that issue.
Okay.
This is the issue I managed to flip through before the show.
And
nice.
I like the ending where they call Dr. Donald Blake,
right.
Thor. which is good for people who've read Avengers comics and know what's going on. But you mentioned at the end of a storyline, and it definitely felt like it because I didn't know what was going on. And there were certain sequences where I could not follow what was happening.
Yeah.
Well, in this, to catch you up, Tony Stark has been erasing his brain, sort of. That's why he's acting.
I figured some of that, and I'm assuming it's all his whole brain is on that disc. That's my assumption.
Yeah, sort of. Well, there's like
they're trying to retrieve the disc.
Trying to get the one little thumb drive or whatever.
Yeah, there's some disc that they're all trying to get to.
Yeah.
Pepper Potts is dressed up, and her hair keeps changing color. I figured out that was a wig about three pages in, but I couldn't figure out when she was. It was on and off. But it got good by the end. Like, the second half is stronger than the first half.
Well, that's a big fight scene between
him and that's why I
thought that was cool. And this is great. I think this is actually, I would even go as far as to say this is probably the best run I've ever read on Iron Man, personally. There's been some good stories.
I mean, there's been so many crowding that top slot.
Oh,
the best
I know.
Iron Man.
It's tough. It's tough to narrow it down. Did you see my list of top 100 Iron Man stories?
Yeah, this is great. How did you edit that down?
Because
I know you have your top 1,000.
I do.
To cut it down to the 100.
Yeah.
Has it been hard?
So that's kind of an easy statement to make. We'll definitely see, I think, after the next arc.
Best comic in your hand. Right now.
This is great. It's really well done.
It's great. It's like it's like watching a great hour-long like drama.
Yeah, and I do think it's obviously hard to pick it up at the end.
Sure.
But that being said, for anybody who isn't reading the rest of Marvel's titles, even though it ties into the Dark Reign stuff, I think it stands on its own.
Definitely.
As probably one of the best Dark Reign titles out there.
As someone who's not reading any of Dark Reign, I'll say absolutely.
Cool.
Do you want us to catch you up on Dark Reign?
Yeah, we can just go.
We could just talk about it.
I wasn't the impression that it's just like Thunderbolt but blown out.
Okay, yep, you covered it.
Yeah,
okay.
That's
great.
Great.
You know, great.
Archie number 602, you guys.
Ah!
Woo! Archie marries Veronica, it's twins.
Yeah.
Pete's asleep right now.
Why do we keep revealing fucking Archie?
Wow. Pete,
because
this is going to be the most collectible comic of our age.
America loves Archie.
Yeah.
Archie is American.
The most beloved redhead in the world.
Yeah.
Screw you.
Really?
What about Pippi Longstocking?
Nobody knows who.
What about Pippi Longstocking?
Nobody knows who Pippi Longstocking is.
Audience?
Pippi Longstocking.
It
would be Lindsay Lohan.
Thank you.
Crickets.
Yeah, just poor Lindsay.
Carrot Top.
Yeah.
Archie. Finally, you guys. Veronica and Archie have gotten married. They have twins. And it shows as they go through their lives. And then one night, Archie, towards the end of the book, this is a little bit of a spoiler, at the beginning of this arc, he had taken a walk down a road and been like, I'm going to go on the left path. Let's see what happens on the right path. Oh, it was Memory Lane, actually, he was walking down.
In the Yellow Woods.
Right. At the end of this issue, he goes for a walk on Christmas, and he comes back to Memory Lane, and he says, you know what? I wonder what happens when I go down the right path. So now we're going to see what happens when he's together with Betty.
Oh, you think it's together with Betty? I think slowly dying of a chronic disease in an alley. I think that's where the twist is.
Yeah, well, is that like a Barry Veronica where he dies in an alley?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Fucking tell me this has all been a dream sequence, this whole thing?
You managed to pull it further out of the book.
Yeah.
What I think is crazy, and
what's in Archie continuity?
Why is this book good? Why are we reviewing this?
I'm going to say, I don't know if this is the weird emotional place I'm in right now, but this kind
because
of
your wife's pregnant?
Yeah. Thanks for
big spoiler.
Don't talk about my personal life.
Did you try to rub that in?
No, I'm just. He started talking about how he's relating to it, and I was like, "Well,
you can't relate to this."
He's related to it because I'm gonna have red hair soon.
Red burns. You are sort of mad red side.
I do have red side burns.
Old red burns.
Some of the pages emotionally got me a little bit.
Really? Well, yeah. I gotta say, I read the double digest.
Got you.
When Reggie leans in, he says, "I'm gonna train the child to be sneaky." That was a really touching. That's what he does. He's sneaky.
Yeah, and Jack was like, "I'm gonna teach you to eat a burger."
Yeah, Moose is like, "I'll get it to kill people." And you're like, well, there's those characters.
How do you know all the names in them?
I read them. Do you ever read
them? Did you actually check out the latest issue of Moose Murder Digest? It's really good.
You would love it, Pete.
Yeah.
The stuff he does with, like, broken glass.
Yeah. Oh, man, they chop Moose into little pieces. It's terrible.
Wow. The thing also with this is, I don't actually need it. There's a scene in here.
Everyone needs it.
Yeah. So everything's going great for Archie and Veronica. They're wealthy. They have twins. Sorry to spoil that. There are some terrible jokes in here.
That's
there's a great Rosebud reference if anyone
sits
in Kane recently. Classic. And then Veronica goes to check in with Betty, and she's like, oh, I lost my job. We'll have to eat this diner because I don't have any money. My boyfriend, oh, we broke up. And then that's the last you ever hear about Betty. Until she commits suicide on page 26. Which I predicted back at the beginning of this arc.
Yeah. I gotta say, I like the efficiency of storytelling in that one. Things happen fast.
Oh, totally.
Like in 22 pages, you cover about a year to 5 years of their lives.
Yeah.
Well, it's really, so many modern comics where you have to read 6 issues for anything to happen.
Well, this is very different from Ultimate Archie. Origin, which originally happened in two pages, and stretched out to 6 issues.
Eternity.
I'm interested to hear how they're going to follow up after the Betty arc. Where the next turn is.
It's Archie Dark Reign. Oh,
the question I have is, Archie going to remember all this stuff afterwards?
I hope so. That'd be great.
Yeah, well, he's going to remember the road, but the rest of the road
won't.
Right,
exactly.
It'll be like Archie Flash Forward.
Oh, nice.
It's really good.
Never seen it.
Television.
Let's move on and talk about Incredible Hulk, number 603. Alright, cool.
Come on, Hulk.
Pete, you're a big fan of the Hulk.
Yeah.
And Wolverine, who's here.
Who's in there?
Hulk and, Banner and Hulk's son Scar fighting against Wolverine and Wolverine's son Dakin.
So far, Marvel hasn't ruined these characters yet, so this is good.
Chip on your shoulder.
Yeah, excuse me while I get that off. No, this is fun. I mean, it's, Banner moving chess pieces around a little bit. But there's a lot of action in there and some fun. Anytime Wolverine gets thrown, I'm excited.
Thrown through the air, thrown emotionally. No.
What do you think about this?
I actually like this a lot. I love all these characters. I love Dakin and the Scar in here is much
you
better.
You like Dakin.
I do. Have you been reading Dark Wolverine? It's good. The last issue was
The last couple have kind of sucked.
But the first two or three were great.
You like how he can control people through his pheromones?
I can do that.
Oh, God.
What? Oh, I just made you sort of giggle. With my pheromones.
Yeah.
I like this a lot, too. I think this is good. It's great to have Greg Pak back on Incredible Hulk. He writes Banner so well. He writes Hulk so well, Scar, all of these characters. There's fun stuff in here with Wolverine and Banner just kind of hanging out, and I love all the characterizations. I think it's very cool.
Nice, father-son. Because these characters, you don't... The Wolverine-Dakin thing, you never see the father-son dynamic.
Other than him being like, he's my son.
Yeah. And why does he want to kill me? I want to kill you, Dad. And then
I got three claws. Yeah. Well, I got three claws, but in different places.
Yeah, totally.
Et cetera, et cetera.
Just like all fathers and sons.
Yes. What do you guys think about this?
That's the first time I looked at it.
Nice.
Cool.
Well, what was your impression?
It seems like they're fighting in a comic store.
Right? Yeah.
Great. That's a great review, sort of.
That's weird, right? Like, why, like, how... What?
Well, yeah. Imagine if they came in here and started fighting.
It does make for some Photoshop-y backgrounds.
Oh, there's that too.
Yeah.
Maybe I just haven't been following. I know when Hulk had a son. I remember when that happened. Planet Hulk and all that.
Right.
I don't know when Wolverine had a son. And then isn't X-23 Wolverine's daughter? Like, when is he doing all this business?
X-23 is the Wolverine's female clone.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
comics.
What's the...
And Dakin is...
And who named him Dakin?
You would probably know. Wolverine slept with some lady in Madripoor probably or something.
Yeah. An outer galaxy, and her surname is Schlocken. And so, I remember her name.
His name is Dakin Schlocken.
Classic in the Japanese style.
Yeah.
Cool, let's move on. Talk about Justice League of America, number 38. This is kicking off James Robinson and Mark Bagley's run.
You know what? I just gotta say how pissed I am to have one of my favorite characters, Bluebird, be instantly killed.
Blue Jay.
Whatever his name is. He was my favorite.
My favorite.
I don't even know the name.
It's just so... Done. So it's been done.
I'm gonna just put this out there. I'm just gonna say this.
Is it Blue Jay?
Okay, so this is
even shittier.
Yeah, this is a terrible issue. It starts off with killing a random member of Justice League.
Who's ever heard of Blue Jay? Anybody? Where?
Yeah.
From where?
I thought it was a made-up character just to kill him.
I think he's from an alternate Earth. It was supposed to be like all Marvel guys.
I don't believe
is that. It?
So what?
He's kind of like Ant-Man.
Not really.
Ant-Man.
Like
he's got wings.
Really?
Wouldn't
so he could talk to birds and
I could
control
birds.
He's very small.
Wouldn't he Is he small or is the other guy huge? I couldn't.
I think he's small. This comic sounds
so great. If he's like Egghead, so he's shrunk down to the size of birds?
I think he's from the same world as the, with that, like, the fake Dr. Octopus dude and the extremists, that's what they were called.
I gotta look this up on Wikipedia.
This could be wrong, though.
So anyway, after he gets killed for no apparent reason,
he had something important to tell somebody.
Sure, he did. The remnants of the Justice League are meeting in Happy Harbor, and even they are like, why are we in Happy Harbor?
Yeah. Who's Blue Jay?
Yeah, what's going on? And then Despero attacks, as
nowhere.
Usual.
Yes, out of Despero. Out of nowhere.
Despero, nice.
Yeah, out of absolutely nowhere, as he usually does, and he's like, oh man, I can't wait to attack you guys.
Deja vu.
And then a bunch of other people show up and stop him, and then they're all like, come on, we gotta go to Blackest Night, you guys. And then it's like, Blackest Night.
They almost literally say that. They're like, well, I heard about these zombies attacking. They're like, well, let's go check it out. And what I hate about this, Zatanna shows up at the end, and she's like, you guys need some help? Backwards talk, and everything's fine.
Yep.
Yeah.
Bullshit. Well, I like her as a character.
There are a lot of things to hate more than that.
Yeah.
True.
James Robinson is rapidly becoming the Jeff Loeb of the DC universe.
Whoa!
I don't know. I gotta say, this issue's worse than, like, Hulk. The Wrong. Jeff Loeb Hulk, yeah.
But he's doing the same things, where he's just randomly like, whatever the fuck I want to do, here it goes.
No, but he seems to, he doesn't have as much arrogance, and at least that, you can see what it is in Jeff Loeb's writing. And this just seems like it's a confusing mess. Like, who wants to see Vixen as the leader of the Justice League? I don't know. Who likes these characters that he chose? Kongorilla? Who gives a shit about Kongorilla? He has to keep saying the name because everyone's like, oh, the orange... Hey, yeah, okay. He's not even in it. They just talk about
him. No, they're talking about how awesome Kongorilla is.
Yeah. They're big upping him.
Yeah.
The entire issue.
The Kongorilla.
Yeah, it also follows up on Justice League Cry for Justice, which is about three
it's called, issues in it. It's called Justice League Time for Hungry.
Yeah!
I wasn't here for that, so I don't know what you're
talking about. You missed
me. Oh, man, that was a great time.
If you guys, to recap my ridiculous statement.
Wow, really? Are you saying, doing this again?
Well, I just want to say, so people can not feel excluded. We reviewed Cry for Justice last week, and after a long...
2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago. After a long sort of pause, I was like, well, it's like if a friend ran up to you at dinner time and said, it's time for hungry.
That you didn't mention
hilarious.
The dinner time. You just said, it's like if a friend ran up to you and was like, time for hungry.
Yeah. And everyone made fun of me for the entire show.
It was awesome.
My cheeks turned red.
So that was a good show. You guys should go back in time and check that out.
Yeah. No, you can. Yeah, this is the podcast.
Yeah.
Okay.
Burn! Podcast burn!
Great issue. Pick this up. Yeah. Let's move on. Last but not least, talk about Sugar Shock. One Shot. This is a collection of the MySpace Presents, Dark Horse Presents, Sugar Shock by Joss Whedon and Fabio Moon.
Finally, my two favorite cultural items, Dark Horse and MySpace, have come together.
Yeah, it's great. Dark Horse is my favorite place for Aliens comics, and MySpace is my favorite place for hanging out with friends.
He's hanging out with friends on MySpace.
Yeah, it's really cool. You can chat or whatever.
Yeah,
bands. A lot of signed bands.
Yeah, check out. There's some awesome music on there.
MySpace.
Yeah, it's really great.
Still happening.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
No, they shut down.
It's totally happening. It's what's happening.
What'd you guys think about this issue? How great was it?
It was probably the worst thing I've ever read in my life.
What?
No, you're right. That JLA was pretty bad.
What about this
robot that wears pants in it, though?
There is a robot that wears pants.
That's pretty awesome. It's fun.
It's funny.
Not funny. It's ridiculous. And it's horrible, and it's boring.
It is funny, and it's not ridiculous, and it's not boring.
Hell of a rebuttal at the end there.
There's so many to do with
how's law school going? How's the law school going?
How isn't law school going? Close!
You're the lawyer and the judge. Judges don't close cases. They judge them.
It's a very... It's all I could afford. I thought it was in a cereal box and it was like, want to go to law school? Here's this decoder ring.
It opens the first page.
The cereal was called Sugar Gavel Smacks.
It opens up with the first
page. Sugar King of Breakfast.
More jokes.
Sorry.
Yeah,
it opens up with the first.
That cartoon judge.
You'll be wrecked by cereal. You're going to jail.
Pete, how does that comic go?
And those funny and those funny cartoon rapists are trying to get away with the cereal.
Yeah.
Bad choice.
They're like, hey, we'll rape what we like.
Yeah. Don't eat that cereal.
Too much.
It's really,
apparently
it's really
quit Pete talk.
Oh,
no.
Wait, what happened?
Great. All right. Sugar Shock is great. We all agree. And that's it for the stack.
Dude.
Guys, let's move on to my favorite section. It's my favorite section because you make it up at your audience questions. For that, we're going to bring up Booth Man.
Booth Man!
Yay.
More layer jokes. Those jokes were hilarious. I've got some questions or whatever.
Pop tour
like
before?
A quiz.
Pop tour.
Yeah, this is a quiz. Is X Babies the best comic of the year?
Probably not.
Don't think so hard about it.
Probably not, but page 9 of issue 1 is the best page of the year.
The actual calendar year, like the fiscal
which
year?
Which page?
Well,
the one with the adorable X Babies.
Oh, yeah,
when you first see
good.
Them, if there's an Eisner for best page, we want it.
there isn't.
Yeah.
When there's an Eisner for best page, we want it.
Okay, you got it.
Yeah.
Great.
We all agree. X Babies, issue of the year.
Raise
your hand if you ask that question. Pete's going to bring you a present.
Is that the question?
That was a question.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
There
you go. That's
good.
The next question.
I thought you were just putting them on.
No, I don't do that. Is Blackest Night the greatest crossover ever?
Ever? No.
Yeah.
No.
Well, what would you say is the greatest crossover ever?
Blackest Night.
If you can't say what it is, then it clearly is Blackest Night.
Oh, I like the Sinestro Core War better
yes,
than this.
Was.
Sure.
Yeah.
Just
that was definitely
Lantern.
Yeah.
From a year ago.
Does Secret Wars count as a crossover?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. Secret Wars.
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay.
It's awesome.
Thalmic's Covenant.
Really?
I just
read nobody takes that.
I'm partial to Inferno.
Oh, man, I tried to read that.
Inferno
once.
Is good. Kingdom Come.
Ooh, Inferno.
Sweet.
I love Inferno.
Yeah. Inferno.
Inferno is actually probably. It's a tough call for me between that and Fall for the Mutants. Fall of the Mutants. But the thing that I love about Inferno. Fall for the Mutants.
Yeah.
That's what I like to call it.
Fall for the Mutants. Autumn time is here. It's a great, it's a musical.
The great thing about Inferno, the thing that I loved about it is that each of the X teams individually caused it, and that without any one of them, it wouldn't have happened. And I thought it was such a cool, coordinated event. That's what I thought was so great about it.
What do you think of Bloodlines?
What about the Vibranium Vendetta?
Sure, that one's good.
What about Atlantis Attacks?
The Phalanx Covenant?
Yep. Been there.
A lot of them.
Extinction Agenda?
I'm sticking with Secret Wars.
Infinity Gauntlet is one of my
favorites. That is a
good
one.
Wait, let me tell you which story is an Extinction Agenda and which one is Executioner's Song.
Executioner's Song is all about Cable and Strife.
Okay.
Extinction Agenda, I don't.
That's
I
all
think
about
it's
Genosha.
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 Right.
Cameron Hodge.
Somebody gave
yeah, yeah, it's Cameron Hodge.
Robot Body.
Nice.
I like Executioner's Song. That was good. X-Force was all in jail in the X-Mansion.
Pete, what's your
crossover? Where are you, Pete?
Like he's had a sugar crash.
Why is
no one wants to hear me talk, so I'm not gonna
like,
aww,
Pete, like
we're
hearing
it.
We're hearing it right now.
Evolutionary War?
Evolutionary War. War
that's
of the Gods.
Legends.
Wow.
You're not gonna answer
DC no. Legends?
Because of the whole Fabio Moon?
Oh, Pete. The saddest day ever.
Oh, man.
Goodness gracious.
Well,
I wanted to hear how Sugar Shack started.
Do you know what this is?
Don't
do
it,
Pete?
Careful.
This,
don't push
it.
How dare you?
Wait, do you know what this is? This is the Punisher shooting the smallest gun in the world. Let's get the next question.
You like that, though, right? That'll cheer you right up.
If the Muppet Babies fought the...
Oh, yeah.
X-Babies are going to win.
Questions really written
X-Babies are
going to
win.
Sheets of paper?
Yeah, I'm not making them up.
We have a low-carbon footprint here. Oh,
smart.
If
and however, we take 8 barrels of oil to produce each sheet of paper.
Yeah. Special well, hyper-color paper.
Now
yeah.
I know how Pete
the answer is the X-Babies.
No, you don't.
Muppet Babies versus X-Babies?
Yeah.
Is Animal on the team?
Yes.
Oh.
We'll see. You didn't think of that.
And Fozzie Bear.
You know, all the X-Babies like to do is fight, though. That's the
yeah,
only thing they like
win.
To do.
Are they fighting or learning how to use a microscope? Which one?
Are Nanny's legs on the team?
Still give it to the X-Babies.
Okay, you're going to give it to the X-Babies.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Raise your hand if you ask that piece and bring your present. And that's it for your audience question.
Quick question about X-Babies, actually. While I was reading it, I was thinking there's no Jean Grey.
Right.
Because...
I don't think he's ever been an X-Baby.
She was an X-Baby originally?
I don't know. Originally, actually, I read the first appearance of the X-Babies after I'd written issue 3. and realized how off I was on what the theme was.
Fortunately, I've read every appearance of the X-Babies ever. Right. And counterbalance that.
But yeah, the original team didn't have Cyclops on it.
Yeah.
Didn't have Nightcrawler on it. So we just picked our own team, made it up. And Psylocke was on the original team, but I didn't want any
really
mind readers or brain power people.
Mm-hmm. Also a baby in like a ridiculously small outfit.
No, it was old
school.
She
wrote a whole story explaining how she turned from the purple dress to the slutty ninja.
That's actually
find the
good
words.
Term. It's called good.
Yeah.
Cool. It is time for our next section, which we like to call the Week in Geek.
Yeah.
That's pretty intense. Guys, first thing we are going to talk about, let's get the first slide here because I don't remember. Oh,
yes, of course.
Guys, it's been a couple of weeks and Heroes has been on. Let's get the next slide. So, I don't know if you heard, but there's a big fight going on because New York Comic Con was originally scheduled and is continued to be scheduled for October 8th through 10th, 2010. Big Apple Comic Con, which is run by Wizard, last 2 weekends ago, I guess, said that they are going to be scheduled for October 7th through 10th, 2010, starting the Con Wars. What do you guys think about this?
Great. Let's take our small comics community and divide it in half and have them all fight. It seems ridiculous.
The only person who wins in this is people who are charging $100 for autographs, and that's it.
Really? Why?
Because they can sell them. I don't know.
Wouldn't it be better if
they had $100?
Yeah.
Big AppleCon will lose this one.
Yeah, having been,
having been to both.
Yeah.
Big AppleCon's going to lose.
There's no way anyone would choose the Big AppleCon without
unless they really want to meet Pete Rose.
Yeah.
Who, and I don't even know if he showed up.
He didn't.
He didn't?
No, he didn't end up.
But they did have Wax Steven Spielberg, and that is a draw.
What was Pete Rose's handler saying to Pete Rose to be like, yeah, you know, I signed you up for this Comic Con.
It's going to be great. It's going to be cold. It's going to be raining.
Yeah.
You know,
no one's going to know who you are there.
It's going to be awesome.
They also had pole dancing Robin and Batman. You guys saw the video of that?
I missed that.
Sweet.
Great.
I watched a bunch of times.
I actually heard it was pretty terrible, though.
Yeah.
It was
expensive.
It was a dud, yeah.
Man, real bummer.
Well, I mean, I guess the question, because they are definitely going to hold it at the same time. At this point, they've reserved the venue. They're definitely going to be within walking distance of each other. I do think, even though I hate it personally, and the Big Apple Comic Con stands for everything that I hate about Comic Cons personally, there are people who do want those autographs and do want these chintzy things and to buy terrible, terrible cheap comics because they're like, oh, they're cheap.
Well, I've certainly considered not getting a table in Artist Alley and just renting a minivan and shuttling people for a fee back and forth.
That's a good idea.
That's the business opportunity.
Might not help your writing career, but it will definitely help your bus driving career.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Money counts. It's a recession. Let's remember that.
Because clearly, you know, artists and creators care, and people that are, you know, devoted fans who know what's going on, I think, care. But do you think the community as a whole cares? Do you think they even know?
Right. Well, here's the thing.
No to both.
The thing is, the problem is, they'll be like, oh, I'm going to Comic-Con this weekend. I want to see this person I want to see. And then they go to the wrong one. Then they're like, wait, why am I, what's happening? Why would there be two Comic-Cons in the same day?
Caveat emptor.
Well, they won't even necessarily.
Wow.
Yeah.
Let the buyer beware. You got to know you're putting your $30 to get into a.
E pluribus, yeah.
Thing.
I don't know.
Pete, anything?
All right.
Wow.
Pete speaks Latin.
Yeah. There was actually, this was a kind of crazy thing that New York Comic Con was doing during the weekend when people were at Big Apple Comic Con and they would tweet, be like, hey, hanging out at New York Comic Con this weekend. They had somebody whose only job was to tweet back and say, you're actually at Big Apple Comic Con, not at New York Comic Con.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a shitty job.
Sure is. Anyway, that's going to be fun. Fun weekend for everybody. Let's move on. We're going to talk about the creators of Fear Agent, Rick Remender and Tony Moore, one of our favorite books here on the show, have said that they would really like John Hamm to play Heath Houston in the movie version. What do you guys think about that casting?
That's great. Can he grow a beard? Can he grow facial hair?
I don't know.
Sure.
Is he a real human, or is he just like sort of...
Sure. There are episodes where he has stubble, so I imagine that might turn into a beard.
Yeah.
Would you guys? I don't know anything about this guy. He's got like, that's the madman?
Yeah.
He's a madman. Look at him. Look at him. He's a madman.
That's the madman.
I've never read
Fear Agent.
I've never read Fear Agent. So in Fear Agent, does Fear Agent just talk to women and they sleep with them instantly?
No, they usually slap him.
Yeah, he kind of drinks a lot and
drinking a lot.
Clothes.
That's right. Almost the opposite character.
Except for the drinking a lot.
Huh? Yeah.
They certainly drink a lot.
Yeah, but he drinks just as much as everyone else in the world he lives in. Did you watch Mad Men this week?
He also had a great episode.
Great episode.
A little behind.
What were we talking about?
I don't know. If you want to talk about Gossip Girl, we can talk about that.
No.
Crazy stuff last night, guys.
Your 15-year-old girl audience isn't here. These people want to talk about mature grown-ups.
We're not talking to 15-year-old girls?
Huh?
We're not talking to 15-year-old girls?
They're in the microphone. Another 15-year-old girl walk-on.
Cool. All right, let's move on and talk about the other little casting bit. This is one who's been rumored. Jackie Earle Haley, who you might know from Little Children, and that's pretty much it, is rumored to play Sinestro in the Green Lantern movie. What do you guys think about this?
I think that's great casting. As opposed to, like, John Hamm, it seems like we don't know if maybe he can go all the way over to be the Keith Houston. I think Jackie Earle Haley will be very good.
Haley
will be very good at Sinestro.
Pete?
Oh my goodness.
Wow. And even Boothman.
What do you guys think?
I'm fine with that.
Sure. As long as he's got pink skin and a mustache.
Yeah, he's got almost
a
mustache.
He's got the pink skin and the mustache down, I think. Last but not least, we're going to talk about a little event that's happening tomorrow, which is Marvel Fest. Marvel is throwing a Marvel Fest down at Union Square, where they're going to be showing off Astonishing X-Men, the motion comic, on a 3-story high screen and having various events. You're participating in it, right?
Yeah, they asked me to come down and do some sketches.
Nice.
Cool.
So that's what I'm going to do.
That's great. Great follow-up on that.
Awesome. What do you guys think about this event? Good idea, bad idea?
Question, what are some of the other things happening?
Good question.
I think there's a costume contest for kids.
Yeah, a little early.
Yeah.
Well,
costume way after the day. No, Halloween starts on October 31st. This is totally unrelated.
There's costume contests. The winner of the costume contest gets something cool that I don't remember.
To possibly be in a comic.
Possibly?
Yeah, it's
not a great prize.
I think there'll be other people besides me there. Doing sketches.
Do you know any of these people?
More popular people, probably.
Chris Claremont, Frank Thierry.
Yeah, I can't wait to see some Chris Claremont sketches there. Frank Thierry is such a great writer, I wonder how his sketches are.
Maybe they'll write sketches.
Yeah, anyway, it's going to be a great time. Everybody check it out. And that's it for the Week in Geek!
I don't know!
Do you want to do trivia?
He wants to do trivia.
Yeah.
We're going to turn over Grumpy the Page!
Mr. Grumpy the Page!
What he's trying to say is someone needs to raise their hand.
Oh, he's miming it.
I think he's picking you, sir.
It's going to be like a game of charades.
Yeah. He can act it out. Did you just give it away? Huh? No, you have to come down and do a 5-minute monologue.
Wait. Actually, you come down here, and we're going to ask you questions.
Yeah, you get down here. We'll ask you.
Get down here.
You get down
here. Get down here. We're serious. Get down here. Yeah. Woo. All right, what's your name?
Hi, I'm Chris.
Great. First question. We're going to ask some questions today about X-Babies.
Yep.
These are questions about X-Babies. In X-Babies number one, which characters are made to look like babies?
The X-Men?
Correct! That's awesome. Second question about X-Babies is, in X-Babies number one, which character that was normally in X-Babies before is not in it? Is it A, Psylocke, B, Nightcrawler, or C, Cyclops?
Psylocke.
Yeah! Alright, last question, and then this is going to be given back to you.
Yeah, he mugged you, man.
What can we do to make Pete feel better? Is it
question.
A, erase the last hour of his life?
I can do that.
B, erase the comic book that's coming out tomorrow? Or C, everybody give him a big hug?
C.
Yeah!
You got him!
Let's do it! Everybody!
Oh boy. I that count me?
Huh? Yes.
No.
That
I'll
counts.
Do it. Don't bite you.
All right, great.
Nice job. Congratulations.
Nice job. That was amazing.
Congratulations on coming here winning, then losing, then winning again.
That's amazing.
That's what
guys,
that's all about.
As we all know, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day. We recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they're nice enough to sponsor the show. What are you guys looking forward to? Pete.
He's looking forward to feeling better. He's going to read The Punisher because he already knows what happened and he's bummed out. But maybe on a night's sleep, he'll reflect on it and maybe see it's for the best.
Justin.
Oh, I thought you were going to bump me. I'm looking forward to Northlanders number 21. Oh, were you going to tell what I
mean? Yeah, Anti-Venom, Few Ways to Live.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm looking forward to New Mutants number 6, Doug Lock, back again. Yeah, let's do it.
Sure, why not? I'm looking forward to the Deadpool 900 poster.
That's a good poster.
Gracing virgin college dorm rooms everywhere.
I'm looking forward to Batman Brave and the Bold, whatever issue number it is. That's a good book.
Yeah,
I like that cartoon. I like the comic book. I'm on board.
It is good. Jake.
Definitely Star Wars Legacy number 41, Rogue's End, but not really, definitely.
They're really doing great things.
I might
save
myself a trip to the comic shop tomorrow.
Nice. There's a tribute to Michael Jackson coming out in comic book form.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so that's good.
How have you guys been liking the femme fatale political comics?
Femme fatale?
What is that? Female force. Oh, Hillary Clinton's probably not a femme
fatale. Bad girl.
Yeah,
no,
no,
no. I didn't read that, but I did read Barack the Barbarian number 1.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was terrible.
Well, it was better than some of the other ones. The Caroline Kennedy, I thought was a really great issue.
Plenty of stuff that's coming out. So when can people check out X-Babies number 2?
X-Babies number 2 comes out November 11th.
Great.
Issue 1 should still be on the stands. If it's not, ask for it and they'll order it, hopefully.
Awesome. You guys have a backup story also running in G-Man.
We're both doing separate backup stories in G-Man Cape Crisis.
What happened to you guys?
Is everything
cool? Doing it separately.
We're both writing and drawing our own.
Sometimes
stories.
We do things by ourselves.
Yeah.
Who's gonna?
Yeah.
I mean, you
sometimes.
Guys are obviously divorcing. Who's gonna get the X-Babies?
Yeah,
zing. Thank you for the
zing. He's doing stuff with his character picks, and I'm doing more Skull Boy stuff.
Right.
Nice.
Yeah, the
how is this communicating?
We both write and draw, so we both.
Which makes things really confusing at conventions.
Yeah. It makes people conventions when they too hard to explain.
No, let's get into it.
All right.
Great. Guys, a couple of things before we go. You can check us out almost every day of the week at youtube.com/comicbookclub, where some of us are more vocal than we are here. Also, next week we have some great guests on the show we're very excited about. We're going to have Michael Kaluta and Elaine Lee from the book Starstruck, and also musical guest Adira Amram. So look forward to that. Yeah, happens sometimes. Every once in a while.
Oh, yeah, you guys are playing us out.
Okay, sure.
Yeah, if you could just do a quick song. A couple of people want to thank. We want to thank Greg and Jeff for being here.
Thank you.